Revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. Today, our eyes behold Christ as He sees us in Himself. Today and forever, He is glorified and we are edified. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we started off in the morning section from Matthew 28. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 28 from verse 18. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 from verse 18. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. It is go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you." He said, "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we said, when he says, "Go make disciples," right? Go make disciples. What the old King James will call, "Go teach all nations." That is the word "matitio" in the Greek. From what we said, that's the word "matitio." It says that word implies the act of training people to becoming professionals in a specific discipline. What? Take note of that word. The act of training people to becoming professionals, to becoming scholars in a specific discipline. We say this from the noun "matitin," a word used for an apprentice. The word used for an apprentice. So that word "disciple" is an apprentice. I heard it. An apprentice. Very important. You don't have an apprentice learn 10 trades at a time. He's going to be bad at what he does. Right? Right? He learns a specific trade. Glory to God. So you see that word "disciple" is not Jesus' coined word. No, it's a word used for an apprentice. So an apprentice learns a particular trade, learns a particular discipline, a specific discipline, right? So we said earlier, in raising disciples, Jesus tells us how to raise disciples. Verse 20, he said, teaching them. So teaching becomes the primary meeting of believers. Hallelujah. Teaching, the teaching meeting becomes the primary meeting of the believers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus tells us how discipleship should be done. By teaching primarily. Now, teaching, I said, is the primary meeting of believers. It is a classroom meeting of believers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Not just that Jesus told us to raise disciples via teaching, he also tells us what should be taught. Hallelujah. He tells you what should be taught. And earlier we said the church is not a place where you learn every discipline. No. In the church, there is what we learn is specific. Hallelujah. The church is what we learn is specific. You don't have vast knowledge in the church. The church is not a place where you have business seminars, or is not a place of business seminars. The church is a place where what we are taught is concerning Christ. Hallelujah. That's what we said, right? Specific knowledge. And we said that knowledge is concerning Christ's resurrection. His indwelling. Was that what we said earlier? Right? His indwelling. Glory to God. I said this yesterday. I said, when you can go to church and know what you should be taught concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? You know what? You can say, if you are studying accounting, are you hearing me? You're studying accounting. You can expect to be going to your university and you say, "I don't know what I am going to study." No. You know what you are studying is accounting. So what you should be taught should be what is related to accounting. Right? Right? It becomes misplacement of priorities. When you now get to study accounting and you are being taught physiotherapy or physiology, you know, there's a problem. Or in an accounting class, you are now being taught, today your lecturer walks in and says, okay, in this department, accounting department, we're going to start learning anatomy. You know, you need to go home. Hallelujah. You need to go home. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, in Christianity, what we are taught is concerning Christ, His resurrection. That is the indwelling. That's what we said earlier, right? Okay. Speaking concerning the resurrection, we went down to Matthew chapter 16, right? Matthew 16, from verse 16. You know, Jesus earlier asked them a question. In verse 13, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they gave their different opinions, what people were saying. But he asked them in verse 15, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Son of the living God. And Jesus replied and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. 18. And I say also that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. On this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades, the gate of hell, shall not prevail against it. We've looked at this, right? Right? The gate of hell means the place of the dead. Hallelujah. He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever thing you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Hallelujah. So we'll take it up from where we stopped last session. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we said, when he said the gate of hell will not prevail, it means in the resurrection, the church will be founded. Right? The church of Christ will be founded in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what we said was that when Jesus resurrected, when he resurrected, the church was founded. That is the church. Was that what we said? Right? That the church will be founded on him. So when he resurrected, that is the church. Glory to God. Glory to God. That is the church. So, Jesus is not a member of the church. No, we are taking it up from there. He's not a member of the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I once heard someone say, you know, my elder brother Jesus. Hallelujah. He's not a member of the church. Glory to God. Rather, he is the person of the church. He is the church personified. Are you hearing me? Jesus is the church personified. That is why in Ephesians 1, look at Ephesians 1 quickly. Ephesians 1. Verse 21. You know, this is Paul. I'll start from verse 19. He says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavens. 21, far above principalities and powers and might and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Look at what he said in verse 22. And he has put all things under his feet and made him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. Did you see that? Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he calls Christ the head of the body. That is the church. Are you following that? When you hear the word head, head, that is the word in the Greek that is called kephale in the Greek. Kephale in the Greek. It's a word which means, or which implies, the source. Are you hearing me? The source. So, Jesus is the source. He is the source. Are you following me? For yeah, he is the head. He is the source. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He is the head of the church. The head of the body. That is, he is our source. Glory to God. In Ephesians 4 verse 15. It says, but speaking the truth. You know, we start from verse 11. It said, yet some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, 13. Till we all come to the unity of faith of the and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the statutes of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Did you see that? Who is the head? Christ. He is our source. Hallelujah. He is the source of the church. Colossians 1:18. He says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Hallelujah. He said, he is the head of the body. He is the head of the body, the firstborn, the head of the body. He is the head of the body. Hallelujah. He is the head of the church. So when you hear the word church, what does it mean? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, firstly, before we get to this part, we say we see the church as a person, right? Personified in Christ, right? Right? Glory to God. And we are members of his body. Hallelujah. He is the source. Hallelujah. Let's look at the word church. The word church is from the Greek word ekklesia. Ekklesia, from the compound of ek or ek and kalio. Ek means, it implies out from, to out from, like take something out from somewhere to somewhere. Hallelujah. Now the word kalio means to call. So when you bring those words together, it implies to call out. Are you following me? It implies to call out a group of people for a specific purpose. To call out for a specific purpose. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So the word church, I told us yesterday, is not Jesus coined. You know, didn't coin the word church. Didn't coin the word ecclesia. No. When you call ecclesia, when he called ecclesia, they all knew what he meant. Hallelujah. It's a word in their day. Hallelujah. It means a group of people that are gathered for a specific purpose. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. It deals with an assemblage of people. When people assemble together. I told us something yesterday. Like you are calling people out of their houses for a purpose. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. It's used for, or it deals with an assemblage of people, a gathering of people for a purpose, be it political, cultural, or any purpose. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing me? That is called church. That gathering is called church. Hallelujah. It's called ecclesia. Are you following me? It's called ecclesia. So when Jesus says, I will build my church, is a counter narrative. Because everybody knows what a church is. A group of people that gather with a specific ideology, right? For a specific purpose. Now he now says, I will build my church. Listen to that. My church.
Remember, I said it's a counter narrative to show you that this church is his own. Hallelujah. That means people had different gatherings, but I will build my own. Hallelujah. This is my church. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I build my church. So, meaning this gathering that Jesus is talking about is his own. And their purpose and their mission will be his purpose and his mission. Are you hearing me? The purpose of the gathering is Christ's purpose. The mission of the gathering is Christ's mission. Hallelujah. And when we say it's Christ's mission, how can we say it's also is the same mission in Genesis 1:1? We'll get to see that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll get to see that shortly. Glory to God. So, when Jesus said, I'll build my church, it is my own. Glory to God. Not me. He's talking about his own. A counter narrative. That says, where will he build it? He said, on this rock, right? I'll build my church. It implies the church will be founded on him as the source. Remember, we looked at this with that word on the rock earlier, right? I'll build upon this rock. So that means when he say upon this rock I'll build my church, it means the church will be founded on him as the source. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. The gathering will be founded on the truth concerning him. This is why when we gather like this, physically, when we gather like this, we don't teach any other thing outside Christ. Hallelujah. Because it is his church. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Therefore, we can say the church is gathered unto him. I'm going to show you something. Our gathering is unto him. Let me tell you what I have in my notes. It says, when a man gets born again, he's identified with Christ, right? He's identified with Christ. Colossians 1 says he has been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son, right? Right? He's gone out of darkness to the kingdom of the Son, which is Christ. So, our identification together, irrespective of your denomination, once a man is born again, that identification, hallelujah, our identification together with Christ is called church, irrespective of your denomination. Are you hearing me? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Our union with him is called church. Hallelujah. Our union in Christ is called church, with common source. What is the source? Christ is in us. Christ is in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ is in us. This is our common identity. Are you following me? This is our common identity. Something to critically see is that all through scripture, no singular person is called church. Hallelujah. No singular person is called church. No. Glory to God. Are you following me? No singular person is called church. Rather, our gathering in Christ is called church. No singular person is called church. Rather, our gathering in Christ is what is called church. Hallelujah. Are you following me? That one is called church. That gathering in Christ is called church. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is the reason why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 First Corinthians chapter number 12. Verses 12 into 13. It says, Paul says, "As far as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slave or free. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit." Did you see that? Are you hearing me? So this is the reason why Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 will say, by one Spirit, we all, watch that word, we all, no singular person, we all, hallelujah, we all. So we all together is called church. That identification we have in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we are members of that body. Members of his body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I put it this way. So we as members of his body are called Christ. Hallelujah. The church. Glory to God. We'll see more of this as we progress into the evening. Hallelujah. That said, let's begin to go into details about what is available to us, or what is available to the church in the resurrection. What is available to the church in the resurrection? Let's begin to look at what is available to the church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew 16, verse 19. Where we were. Matthew 16, verse 19. It says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever thing you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever thing you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Some people have used these keys to unlock a lot of things, because you don't know what it means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, "You err because you know not the scriptures." Hallelujah. I remember I was telling someone, "You just have one little conversation there. We have agreed." And the Bible says, "Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven." I say, "You trust it." Is that what it means? It says, "Whatever we lose on earth is in heaven." I am sure. I choose. It's fun. I into his wings. I say, "Okay, whatever we bind on earth, whatever we lose, okay." I say, "Okay." So when we lose, meaning when we agree for something to happen, it will just be binding. Even heaven cannot heaven cannot stop it. I said, "Okay. Do you like Jay?" He said, "No." And I just went there straight. I said, "Like Jay?" They said, "No." They said, "What if the whole church not agree that Jay is the way? Will heaven agree?" He said, "No, no, no, no." That's all that. I said, "No. Let's not be started, finish it. Because you don't understand what Jesus is talking about." Okay, I'm answering this. Let's do something. Let's read together. Hallelujah. So, that's the answer. And I mean, what does it mean? It's going the direction of, I say, okay, can we marry it again? Because what Jesus has said, pre-crucifixion and post, and in the resurrection, what did he say? He said, "Yes." Okay. Now, let's go and see what he said in the resurrection. I show you. What do you think God about him? He now said, "Pastor, are you trying to say his disciples here? Are you trying to say his disciples here?" And I say, "Wait, calm down. Get them to John." I said, "It could be like he's to make disciples." I say, "Don't worry. Don't rush. We'll get to it together." How is that? You know, I understand the fact that, and that's why I usually do tell people years back, a lot of things that you just need to calm down and look at again, so that you will not, don't just rush. Reading your scriptures, reading the Bible is not what you rush to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When some people want to write final exams in school, they will burn candle all through the night for days. And you are reading your Bible, when you want to sleep. And I said, "I'm just sleeping. I just saw one big light in. It is finished." And I didn't finish my situation. Sure, alright. You were sleeping.
Mary to his name and house. Read the Bible, I don't need to see Moses. It's your grandfather, you see.
Hallelujah. Be coming down like this. You understand?
For some people, you just have to
be coming down like this.
Glory to God.
So he says, I'll give to you the keys. That word keys. In Luke 11, verse 52, that word keys. Let's see what the word keys is for. I'll give to you the keys. Luke 11, verse 52. He says, woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of the knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering you hindered. He said, you take away the keys of knowledge. That word is used for assets. Assets or authority. You took away the access to authority. The access to knowledge, right? Even yourself did not enter. It's used for access. In Revelation 1:18, we were here yesterday, but I just quoted it, but let's get there. Revelation 1:18. Are you there? It says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of death and of... the keys of Hades, that is, of death. The keys of Hades, that is, of death. We saw this yesterday, right? Right? So when you say, I have the keys of Hades, it means access, authority. I have the authority of Hades, that is, of death. Hallelujah. Authority. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're not here yesterday night, you have to get that message. I said one or two things I have to speak out this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That will be similar. Revelation 1:18, you have to put it side by side with Matthew 28:18-20 to see. Hallelujah. You have to put it side by side. Glory to God. You have to put it side by side, Matthew 18. And Matthew 28:18-20. John 20:21. Hallelujah. Into 23. Glory to God. John 20:20-23. Put them side by side to see what it means. That is the key. Revelation 3, verse 7. He calls it the keys of David. Hallelujah. He said, these things, he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. So he calls it the key of David. We make a reference to what? Authority of David. Hallelujah. Authority of David. You also have it in Revelation 9:1, Revelation 2:1, referring to authority or access. So the word keys here refers to access, authority. I will give to you the access, the authority of the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus is saying here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will give to you the authority of the kingdom of heaven, the church, right? Hallelujah. Let's look at that word kingdom. Kingdom. The word kingdom is the word basilia. Basilia, a word which we will look at critically later on in the evening. Hallelujah. The evening section, we'll look at it critically. But the word basilia, a word which is used for dominion, a rule, a reign. Hallelujah. Kingdom. We'll look at it. Hallelujah. Kingdom. I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. The keys of the kingdom of heaven. The dominion. The rule. Right? The dominion. The keys. The authority. The access. I'll give to you the access. I'll give to you the authority of the dominion of heaven. Hallelujah. The dominion of heaven. So, you need to see this critically now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. The church of Christ is not looking for it. In the resurrection, we have received. Hallelujah.
the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Are you happy? In the resurrection, when Jesus resurrected, so when a man gets saved, hallelujah, he has the keys of the kingdom of heaven. We're going to see that. We're going to see that shortly. Hallelujah.
When you hear kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God, they are used interchangeably. Don't get yourself, you know.
I remember the kingdom of heaven. Yes, but the kingdom of heaven is the, somebody should help me, the rulership of heaven. And the kingdom of God is everywhere. That is not deceiving and cracking your head open.
Hallelujah. It's just the same. It's used interchangeably. Just because of the audience. Hallelujah. We have to know who are the audience. Hallelujah. Just use interchangeably. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are used interchangeably in scriptures. Hallelujah. We'll see that. So, it refers to the dominion, the rule of heaven, right? The dominion of heaven.
So, some people, when they hear some folks, now, if you were sleeping, it's time to be awake to listen. So people, when you hear the word kingdom of heaven, what comes to their mind is rapture. Interesting, right? Rapture,
meaning we are going to disappear. Pew! Hallelujah! Or we are going to disappear from where we are to a distant place. They are expecting somewhere that we'll go to. But you know, that was not what Jesus is referring to here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, when he says in that verse, he says, I will give to you the kingdom, I mean the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
He said, whatsoever thing you bind where? On earth. That's the verse tells you. So it's not a distant place. Jesus is saying whatever thing, so it means Jesus is talking about the fact, or what Jesus is saying is that kingdom is on the earth. Whatsoever thing you find on earth. Glory to God. It's just very simple.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So it tells you that the operation of the kingdom of heaven is on the earth. Is on the earth. Let's take back, let's look at 2020 CRC. Let's go back to 2020 CRC. I said some things along this line, I want to say again. Let's do a little recap on it. When we hear the word heaven, what comes to your mind? Heaven.
La da la da la da oh. The Lord Jesus is la la da. Everybody follow, follow the ladder, follow, everybody follow the ladder to heaven.
It's very funny. Even the song itself, hallelujah. And people were busy teaching children.
Amen.
We are busy teaching children. So a child will just come, mommy, follow the ladder, daddy.
What a foundation for the child. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And I don't want you to think, if you do, do kingdom, oh, kingdom, oh, kingdom waiting for you. If you do, but no more kingdom.
Okay, I can see we all went to Sunday school. Glory to God. Amen. So, we all passed through children's school. Or, is that children? We all passed through Mustard Seed. Thank you.
Amen. Glory to God.
How did I even get here? Okay, heaven, right? So we're taking a recap. So when people hear heaven, what comes to mind for some people is a distant place. Imagine from age 4, they're already singing heaven is a place you have to go. There's another song. I don't know why this song is coming out. You might not know it. It says,
If you think that your money can buy heaven for you, my Bible says, if you think that your beauty can buy heaven for you, my Bible says, no.
You know it?
Yeah. I bind you. I cast you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't teach you in win. I taught you in a different land.
Amen. Tell people where you learned it from.
Maybe you saw me in a divine revelation. Hallelujah. But not this day. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.